Welcome to Network, a production of Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And now your host, Joel Sutherland.
Welcome to Network, the program dedicated to helping pastors and churches cast the net of the gospel. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thank you for listening in today. This whole month, Dr. Steve Parr has been interviewing Josh Hunt about how to make Sunday school evangelistic. So listen into this interview as they discuss how your church, your class, can be evangelistic.
I'm glad to be with my good friend again, Josh Hunt, this week as we've been talking this month about evangelism and Sunday school. And when we say Sunday school, we're talking of your small groups by whatever name you give those. Josh is an author. He's a pastor. He's a Sunday school conference leader. And he has done a lot of research in this area. As a matter of fact, Josh, first of all, welcome. Glad to have you back this week.
Good to be here.
Well, let's talk about Make Your Groups Grow. This is your most recent book, and you did a lot of research for this book. Tell us a little bit about the background of how you conducted the research, first of all.
Well, I'd be clear for starters, say it was not a scientific survey for those who are purists. This was a survey of my friends, people who come to my webpage, people who came to my conferences. So it's not a randomized survey, but I think it was helpful to find out Sunday school teachers who are attending my conferences, what's working and what's not.
Now, you were looking at Sunday school and groups that thrive, that are spiritually vibrant. And you talked about things that really don't make a difference, things that make a big difference, and things that, you know, just kind of in the middle. So let's just kind of take that and break it down. What were some of the things that you found out didn't make as much of a difference as people might think they do when it comes to helping a group to thrive?
All right. There were four things in that category. I ask, the time you spend in ministry, how much time do you spend in preparation versus ministry and relationship building? And what I found there, both these next two, what we wanted to do was kind of hit this somewhere kind of in the middle. That is, we wanted the Sunday school teacher at its best to spend part of their time in preparation for the lesson, but part of their time with the people in some way. Second thing was the purpose of the class. Was it to grow members spiritually or reaching out to outsiders? I was predicting that people who stated their purpose was to reach out to outsiders were growing a lot. The truth is, again, we needed to do both. Teaching ability mattered a little bit, but not as much as I had thought. The better the teacher, the more likely the class is to grow. Visitation positively correlated with growth. And I've had a lot of people over the years, you know, tell me visitation is dead and so on and so on. Groups that were involved in visitation were 70% more likely than groups that did not. So it's still a viable means. It's not in my next category of things that mattered a lot, but it did matter to a significant degree.
That's interesting, because we've just done some recent research about visitation, and while some people say it doesn't work, well, as we survey churches, we keep finding out the churches that do it are reaching more people than those who don't. So it matches what you found there. Well, as you looked on in your research, what were the things that made the big difference?
All right, the first one I mentioned last week, and that is having lots of fellowships. And in rough numbers, groups that have 9 or more parties a year are twice as likely to grow when compared to groups that have 4 or less parties a year. So lots of parties correlated with growth. The second thing that correlated with growth was having what I call a big team, having lots of people involved. I asked the question, to the Sunday school teachers, how many people are helping you with your class? You working all by yourself? You have like one person, a secretary, or whoever that's helping you? Do you have 2 or 3 people helping you? Do you have 4 or more? Groups that have 4 or more people helping in some way. They're in-reach leaders, they're outreach leaders, they're fellowship leaders, they're care group leaders, they're doing whatever. But the more people we have involved, we're twice as likely to grow. If you layer those two things together, we'll go a little bit slow here. Groups that have lots of parties and have lots of people helping with those parties are 3.5 times more likely to be growing when compared with groups that have few parties, that is 4 less a year, and don't have as many people helping. So if you layer those two things together, it was a huge, huge thing. Next thing that mattered a lot was strong people skills. And we've all known people that are very dedicated to God but just hard to get along with. And strong people skills was a strong correlator with growth. And the last one was spiritual vibrancy. And my comment on that is there's a tendency for people to want to pitch spiritual vibrancy against numerical growth and say, well, we're not interested in numerical growth, we just want to get spiritual. Truth is, my research indicates these normally come together. And anecdotally, and I know you know this, Steve, this just verifies scientifically what I have found to be true on the street, and that is churches are growing. They're just having more fun. They're more spiritually alive. They pray more. They hug more. They laugh more. All things are better, and numerical growth tends to go along with that. You could argue which one is the cause and effect there, but they tend to go to together. And this idea that, you know, we're not growing numerically, but we sure are getting spiritual. My experience, both from, you know, 15 years on the road and from the research, is that's, in fact, fairly rare.
That's a good word, Josh. Can't say enough for the morale. And, of course, seeing people come to know Jesus builds morale. And good morale attracts people to the congregation, so good words. Well, listen, we're going to come back next week. We're going to do kind of a Q&A. I'm asking some pros and cons of things like visitation and outreach leaders and personal evangelism training. We'll have a great time. Thanks for being with us again this week, and look forward to, again, talking about evangelism in Sunday school next week.
Great to be with you, Steve.
You've been listening to Dr. Steve Parr interview Josh Hunt about making your small group evangelistic. After the break, the Evangelism Ministries team will come back and we'll discuss this a little more on Network.
Mark your calendar for February 25th and 26th for the 2013 Georgia Evangelism State Conference at First Baptist Church in Douglasville. Speakers include Vance Pittman, Johnny Hunt, Fred Luter, Jeff Vines, Jeff Org, and more. It's a must-attend event for church staff, church leaders, and church members as they experience new evangelism methods and principles to reach their community for Christ. Get more information about the 2013 Georgia State Evangelism Conference at evangelismga.com. That's evangelismga.com.
Welcome back to Network. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland, and with me are my colleagues, Dr. Mark Merritt and Dr. Steve Parr. Gentlemen, we just heard Josh Hunt give some great advice for Sunday school classes, pastors, Sunday school leaders. One of the things he talked about was what didn't matter as much, what did matter some, and what mattered a lot. A couple of things he mentioned, guys, was that teaching ability mattered a little bit. And I'm reminded of what he said in his first book, which this statement always brought a smile to my face. You need a halfway decent Sunday school lesson.
Let me point out, we're not advocating poor teaching. What we're doing here is acknowledging that you don't have to be a great teacher to reach people. Mm-hmm. Of course, a great teacher helps.
Right.
But your leaders, your teachers can be taught to engage their group, their class, in not only organizing but reaching people. And if they teach, you know, pretty good, it can make a big difference. Mm-hmm. Not only that, you don't have to be a great teacher to teach preschool.
Right.
It's really simple, you know, to get down on their level.
Mm-hmm. And I would also say this, Joel. What kind of a preacher were you in your first year of preaching?
Lord God, I hope none of that's recorded anywhere.
Would you want to go back and play any of those on Network? No, and I wouldn't either. So as a pastor, I would look out oftentimes and I would think, you know, we need to start two Sunday school classes right away. Who in the world are we going to put in there? But just think of it this way. If you have a C-plus or a B-minus teacher that you can start off with, that teacher can be trained, and that teacher can learn, and that teacher can sharpen his or her skills, and they will become a good teacher
right.
over time.
I think you hit something important, Mark. They can be trained.
Yes.
What happens many times, though, guys, we send someone into a room with the curriculum and maybe give them even a group to start with,
mm-hmm, right.
but we don't provide them any training. So I think you're right, Mark, that a little bit of training can take that C-plus teacher to a B-minus real quick in mm-hmm. terms of their skills, and a B-minus teacher is going to do a more effective job.
Well, and a B-minus teacher who did what he said last week, he's engaging the audience, we're discussing questions. It's not a 35-minute lecture.
Right.
It's a kind of a roundtable format. That helps you become a better teacher.
Yeah, you notice you mentioned, too, that makes a big difference, people skills.
Right.
In other words, although that teacher may not be the greatest teacher, people just love the teacher.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they rally around them, and he or she can lead them then to organize and to reach out to the community.
A small group that does visitation is 70% more likely to be growing. The translation is every small group should be doing visitation, correct?
in some form or fashion, I think the bottom line is you cannot grow your group by what happens in that 60 minutes on Sunday morning. It also it requires that something is happening with that group during the week. And I don't think we can just throw out visitation as a factor there. And we found that in our research here in Georgia also. The fact is, whatever your opinion about visitation, churches that conduct visitation reach more people than those who do not, on the whole, that is.
In my opinion, every Sunday school class, yes, they most all of them have some type of an in-reach director to help, you know, pray and visit for the class members that are hurting and whatever. But the first thing they should do after that is to have an outreach director, someone that can follow up with the visitors and make sure that they're being contacted and they're not falling through the cracks.
Sure. Now we're talking about church growth, evangelism, reaching people. And Josh said the four big difference makers were fellowships, 9 or more years, having a big team, four or more people helping. Those two together made your class 3.5 times more likely to be growing. Strong people skills with the teacher and spiritual vibrancy in the Sunday school class. I think common sense bears out to us, doesn't it? We could have put those four things down, couldn't we, by and large?
But he has the data to back it up, to show the preponderance of growth when you hit those things. I want to point out, too, people skills, when I think about that, it's friendliness and attitude.
Yes.
And you can be a great Bible teacher, but if you're unfriendly or have a critical attitude, people don't want to be in your group.
No, that's right.
On the other hand, again, if you're positive and you encourage people and you love on people and you teach God's word and do the best you can, people are somewhat forgiving of your technique as long as you're very loving.
Right. And I think those four things, those, that's the Sunday school class I want to join, isn't it? The one you want to join? I mean, that's the one, you know, we're having parties, I'm getting to help, my teacher is likable and friendly, and we're all growing in Christ. I mean, that's the one I want to join, right?
But some pastor or teacher may say, but you know what? I've got 8 people every week, and we're not that vibrant, and we don't have members. How come we have 8 every week? Well, that's the point. You do have 8 every week, and it's the same 8 you had a year ago.
Right.
Notice you're not reaching anybody.
Right.
You have 8 who are connected to you, and they do love you, by the way. That's why they're there. But someone who does not have that relationship with you does not feel the same obligation to be with you on Sunday morning or during the week.
Steve, is that why new classes seem to grow faster than established classes? Because there is a sense of purpose, and there are these assigned roles, and there's an excitement about it.
And sometimes a sense of desperation. If you come out of a class of 8 or 15 or 25, and now you're a group of 4, you're more inclined to be inviting and trying to build that class. So same thing with new churches many times. They tend to be more assertive in reaching out, quite frankly, than a long-established class or a long-established church.
But that doesn't mean the older class can't be that as well.
No, it comes down to the leader. The teacher has to lead the class to enlist and develop teams, to have that attitude, to enlist someone to do the parties or the fellowships. It comes down to leadership once again.
Well, and he was talking about the big team as well. I used to always tell my classes, when you have a fellowship, you assign a nominal member something to bring, napkins, and say, look, if you don't bring napkins, the whole thing is going to fall apart. We're not going to be able to have our party. Children in Africa are going to go hungry, and if you don't bring napkins. But there is a sense that when I give them ownership of what's taking place, they will help me grow my Sunday school group.
And we've seen that through events. The more people get involved in preparing the event, the better the event goes.
Right.
The more people you reach, the more guests that are there. Same thing in Sunday school. The more people you get involved in leading, many times teachers will enlist a class secretary. You can't stop there. You got to get other people involved. And I like what you said, Joel. Get somebody to be the orange juice coordinator.
Right.
Now, you may not, you say there's no such thing. The reality is, though, if they'll do the orange juice, they may realize later, anybody can do this. Give me something more that requires more responsibility down the road.
Right.
In a recent ministry, we started a new Sunday school class, and we did that same thing, Joel. We assigned everyone something to bring. It was a new class, and we didn't have anyone coming. So, and we just made this urgent plea. You've got to bring the coffee pot. You've got to bring some paper napkins or cups or whatever, and just really stressed it. And that Sunday morning, we were sitting in the office looking out at the parking lot, and we see all these people coming bringing these items that they had been requested to bring. And the class had a great number of people on that kickoff day.
Yep.
And let's people think we're being unspiritual here. Let us emphasize that Sunday school or Bible study is built on Bible study. That's sure. the core of it.
Yes.
The aim is, though, to get as many people there as possible, not only to right. grow when they hear God's word, but getting lost and unchurched people there so they can hear the gospel.
Well, and Steve, so let's talk about, there's just quickly as we wrap it up, there seems to be this dichotomy between spiritual vibrancy and growth and then outreach and fellowship, but they really go hand in hand, and not necessarily the way people think they go hand in hand, does it?
That's true. And you know, Josh said something in his book he didn't mention during the interview, and it was very interesting. Do you focus on outreach as a priority, or do you focus on the spiritual growth? And some people might think, well, wouldn't you focus on the spiritual growth first? It was interesting, and if you'll read his book, what he found out is that churches that focused on outreach were more inclined to be growing spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
But just because a group, unfortunately, was, quote, growing deeper did not mean they were doing outreach. So the outreach led to the other. It was kind of a surprise, and upside down from what people ordinarily think.
Sure. And we attended Gary McIntosh conference not long ago,
right.
and he said his research has always borne out the same thing. The most spiritually vibrant churches were the ones who were the most evangelistic.
Right.
Evangelism leads the way. Doesn't Matthew 28, you know, say that? You know, baptize them and teach them all things. It all goes hand in hand.
I was with a leader recently, and as far as evangelism strategy, his whole approach was, we're going to get everything right in terms of our spirituality, and then when we get to that point, then we're going to begin to do evangelism down the road. My point is that when you do that, you never get to evangelism.
Right. That's almost like saying, as soon as I get my life right, I'm going to get saved.
Right.
Well, you'll never get saved.
You're
never going to get your life right.
You won't. Well, to find out more about this and other subjects that will help your small group and Sunday school grow, go to joshhunt.com, visit our 24-hour equipping site, evangelismga.com, or go to our gabaptist.org website, and there you can click on Sunday School Open Group Ministries. They have a wealth of information as well. Until next time on Network, I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thank you for listening in today.
You've been listening to Network, a program dedicated to challenging believers to cast the net of the gospel. Network is a production of the Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention.